91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio. Hello, Tucson, and Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us on the first Broad Perspective show of 2025. Broad Perspectives is a program by women, about women, but for everyone. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and you can hear more of our programs at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives podcast page. Now, today, we're going to remember an infamous and sad day in Tucson from 14 years ago this Wednesday, January 8th, 2011, when our Congresswoman, Gabrielle Giffords, was shot and six people were killed. Pam Simon, who was with Gabrielle that day and was also seriously injured by gunshots, is with us to share her experiences and thoughts about that day. Aspen, tell us about Pam.
I'm so happy to have Pam with us today. Pam Simon served as community outreach coordinator for Congressman Gabrielle Giffords since the congressman first took office in 2007. Before working in the congressional office, Pam taught middle school and high school for over 20 years in both Washington State and Arizona. On January 8, 2011, Pam was shot in the arm and chest while staffing the Congresswoman at a Congress on Your Corner event in Tucson. Since retiring from the congressional office, she has served on the staff of Mayors Against Illegal Guns and Every Town for Gun Safety and has been an advocate for gun violence prevention. She currently volunteers with Moms Demand Action and the Every Town Survivor Network to promote common sense gun legislation at the local, state, and national level. In 2014, Pam was named a White House Champion of Change for her work on gun violence prevention. Pam also served on the January 8th Memorial Foundation Board. She is grateful for the creation of a permanent memorial to honor the lives taken on January 8th, 2011, and to recognize the remarkable way in which the community came together in the aftermath of the tragedy. Welcome to Broad Perspectives.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I'll never forget how the community came together. It was very heartwarming. We needed to feel part of the community support. I myself went to the memorial set up on the hospital ground practically every day and walked with others because we prayed a lot for all of your recoveries. But let's start with your story. You came from the Pacific Northwest, one of my favorite places, in 1972. Why did you decide to relocate to Tucson?
We came as a young couple, and it was my husband's first job at the University of Arizona. I was a middle school teacher, and we packed up everything we owned in our car and drove into Tucson, and we thought we would be here just a few years, and with the hopes of going back to the Northwest. And we, like so many people, fell in love with the desert Southwest. He had a full career at the University of Arizona, and I taught in the Marana School District for over 20 years.
Yes, we all do have a similar story. We came here and we never left. You were interviewed by Amanda Shauger in 2018 on KXCI. I'm really very happy to have you back on Broad Perspectives so we can commemorate the January 8th, 2011 horrific Congress on the Corner shooting. We want to see how you are today, physically and emotionally. It's been 14 years now since the horrific shooting. How are you?
Thank you for asking. The last 14 years have been a real journey of discovery for me. I am so grateful that my physical wounds have healed and I don't have hardly any aftermath. Few achy ribs, but that's a small thing. But after a trauma like that, emotionally, a person has a lot of decisions to make. How the trauma will reshape you, how you want to respond to life after trauma. One of the best decisions I made, and something that I encourage anyone that has had a serious trauma, gun violence or otherwise, is to get some good counseling. I attribute my journey through PTSD to the very helpful counseling of a wonderful woman named Maggie Morton, and she was counselor for several of the people involved. She gave me some tools that helped me through the PTSD, and emotionally, trauma changes a person. For me, I wanted no dark spaces. I wanted no place that I couldn't go because of what had happened. That means that the darkness has won, and I didn't want that to happen. Sometimes I'll hear a person, oh, I can't go to a movie anymore. I can't go to a concert. So right away, I went back to the Safeway and stood on the spot and made the decision that I was going to move forward in that way. I was raised on a farm. I heard get back on the horse many times. That's kind of been my philosophy. So I'm so thankful for both my friendship groups, for the good counseling, for my faith community. All of those helpers help you get along the way.
You know, I read somewhere that you were upset when your scars faded. Why were you upset your scars faded?
Sometimes the body doesn't match the emotional recovery. And my body was knitting together. The bruises had gone away. The scars were beginning to go away. But it was only a few months afterwards, and I had so much more emotional work to do. I realized the scars were something that said, yes, you were really hurt, whereas people can't see the emotional hurt. So that's why I said that in that article.
This really impacted all of Tucson. We all have stories of what happened to us that day around this incident. And I was at a New Year's Eve dinner this New Year's Eve, and our host was at the barbershop that day and witnessed the whole thing. So there's so many stories to be told. But can you share what you remember about the day of the shooting? What was going through your mind during those moments?
As has been told over and over, it was a bright, sunny day, but very chilly. Gabe Zimmerman, my coworker, and I had gotten there early to set up. I actually texted Gabby and said, wear a coat because it was colder than we expected. Thinking back on it, it was a morning so full of hope. It was after the election. Gabby was there to meet her constituents. I always say it's the true meaning of democracy when the people that we elect are there to firsthand talk to the constituents and give the constituents a chance to talk to them. I always got a little chill watching the line of people, all walks of life. Some of them just wanted a picture, some wanted to say thank you to her, some had a beef to discuss. Everybody got their 2 or 3 minutes of one-on-one time with their elected representative. Then, as people have said over and over, it happened so quickly. By the time my brain had registered that it was not a popping balloon, I was on the ground. In those first seconds, I had to actually say to myself, I've been shot, because you just cannot believe it happened. I saw the profile of the gunman as he whirled around. I saw Gabby fall, but all of that happened like in a nanosecond. There's no processing time. Laying on the ground, I was not sure if it was a single gunman, and all of this is like just flashes of thinking. This is not real thinking. I was afraid that maybe he would come back and finish us off, and so I played dead. And I played dead so successfully that when the first responders got there, they jumped over me in getting to Gabby. I just laid very, very still. And there was a sense that I would be okay. For me, it was just a divine presence. It means different things to different people, but I did not feel frightened. I felt like I would be okay.
That's amazing. Your story is so compelling. And I know this probably also affected a lot of people that worked in that Safeway. I'm assuming people from the Safeway came out to help. Am I right?
A lot of what I learned later from various people, a man that was shopping heard the shots and he came running out to help. In his mind, he was going to help take down the gunman. He knew immediately what was going on, which is a true act of bravery. His name's Bob Pagano. They had already taken down the gunman, and he came over and knelt down beside me. Took off his sweater. I mentioned it was cold and my face was pressed into the pavement, and he slid his sweater under my face. And I have a memory of that softness. And then he stayed and basically was my eyes. told me that Gabby was alive. He got my phone out of my pocket, called my husband. It was such an incredible gift to me to have that person be there. I knew I was not alone.
Yeah. And how has this experience changed your life or outlook? Like, what has been the most challenging part of your recovery? And how did your faith and family play a role?
As I said, my faith was something that came unbidden that day, that sense that I was surrounded and would be cared for. But in reality, I was so surrounded and cared for in the days that followed. My faith community, St. Francis United Methodist Church, they were there for me. The minister was there for me. My family flew in. My daughter came from Portland, Oregon. My son from New York City. They came immediately. I felt surrounded by family. My sister came down and acted as my nurse. I was in the hospital for a week, but it became obvious that this was something that affected the entire community. And I realized that when they put me in a wheelchair and one evening wheeled me out of the hospital, and I saw that memorial and heard that violinist play, and it was the full impact really hit me then that I was not alone in that hospital room, that the entire community was feeling it and coming together. And that's why the permanent memorial is titled The Embrace, because our community embraced all of us directly affected and they embraced each other.
Tucson really did come together during that time in the most heartwarming way. What are your feelings about the shooter now, and has it changed over the years?
It really has not changed over the years. I do not spend a lot of time thinking about him. But the one emotion that I always have surrounding this shooter is sadness, because he was a student in the junior high where I taught. And then I moved to the high school about the same time that he was in the high school. I did not have him as a student, but many of my teacher friends called immediately afterwards. His mental illness became more and more obvious after high school, but he was troubled in high school. My feeling is that we do not put in our rich nation enough resources into the mental health issue, especially of our students. This is a young man who the taxpayers will support in a prison for the rest of his life. He essentially has no life. And with the right care, the right medication, he would be a functioning person in our society. So I don't feel anger at him, but I feel a lot of anger that we as a nation do not address this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard a lot of concern about that afterwards, a lot of talk. Well, we're going to take a music break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about all the different organizations that you have become a part of to help prevent gun violence.
Okay, and we do have a music break. And Pam, you've chosen such a beautiful song for us. The song is called For Good, and it's from the Broadway play Wicked. Do you want to tell us something about why you chose this song?
I love the song, and I want to tell you about the very first time I heard it. 2006, it was my last year of teaching. I was at Mountain View High School. So the very first time I heard it was out on the football field under the lights with all the kids in cap and gown. Part of our high school ritual was, as a musical interlude happens, the teachers who sit at the end of the aisle pass out a folder that contains notes from elementary children asking them to be careful on graduation night. So right there, it was kind of touching. But these strains of this beautiful song about how people come into your life for a reason and then change it, often for the better, often for the good. I'm choking up just thinking about it. As I went down the row, the kids were crying. Some of them said I had made a difference in their life, and they certainly had made a difference in my life. So, of course, it means a lot to me now because of the many survivors that I have met across the country, and they also have changed me for the better.
Wow, that's a more beautiful story than this song, even. Thank you for sharing that. The only thing I have to say about this song is these two voices are a couple of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. It's such a beautiful song. Thank you for choosing it. So let's listen to For Good from the Broadway play Wicked, sung by Kristen Chenoweth and Ida Menzel. 91.3 KXCI Tucson, and we're returning to our interview with Pam Simon, victim of January 8th, 2011 gun violence and advocate for gun safety.
Pam, gun violence is widely viewed as a major and growing national problem, to put it mildly. We hear about new mass shootings almost every day. Talk about the healing power of speaking out for change. How has this helped you cope and feel a sense of purpose?
I want to take you back to a moment in 2012. I had just finished working in the congressional office. A special election had been held. Gabby had resigned her position. And up to that point, I had avoided talking about guns completely. I grew up in a gun-owning family, hunters, but I was trying to stay away from the issue of guns. And I was invited to go back along with Bill Badger and Pat Meech, both survivors of the January 8th shooting by Mayor Bloomberg. And he had started Mayors Against Legal Guns. And he had started this project called Demand Plan, asking the two presidential candidates, Obama and Romney, to talk about guns. Political candidates were very shy of even mentioning the word gun. Though we were not successful in getting either candidate to talk about guns, it was the beginning of the movement that has grown and grown across the country. Mayor Bloomberg said, there are a few reporters out front if you are willing to talk to them. After Bill spoke, I stepped up to the microphone, and it wasn't a few. There were about 50 cameras and microphones. And I all of a sudden hit me that I have the moral authority to talk about this subject. This is just a bigger classroom. I'd been in a classroom for a quarter of a century. I looked out at the reporters and thought, I have something to say. And from that moment on, I knew that this was going to be a really important part of my healing.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and amazing story. So other groups that were started were Everytown for Gun Safety and Moms Demand Action. And Gabby has her own organization dedicated to saving lives from gun violence. What are the organizations you're working with today?
I work with, as a volunteer, with Moms Demand Action. I work with Giffords whenever they need me. I was on staff with Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which then became Everytown for Gun Safety, for a couple of years. It was absolutely thrilling to watch a movement go for Moms Demand Action. It was one woman, stay-at-home mom with five kids, and she just thought something has to be done, Shannon Watts. And that has now grown into a 10 million member organization, Moms Demand Action. Everytown for Gun Safety is the umbrella organization, and within that organization remains the mayors, a group of over 1,000 mayors across the country, of which our Mayor Romero is a member. It also is part of the Survivor Network. The Survivor Network essentially started with those of us in Tucson. So the Everytown Survivor Network trains and supports survivors of gun violence and families of victims. And that has grown into many thousands of people now trained to use their story to speak out. And then Moms Demand Action is the grassroots organization that is the boots on the ground and has played offense and defense in the most remarkable way. So it has really been exciting to meet people that are so dedicated to this issue.
So Arizona has some of the most permissive gun laws in the United States. We don't require firearms to be registered. There are no specific bans on assault weapons. How do you feel about the changes or lack thereof in gun laws since the incident? And do you feel there is hope for more change?
I absolutely do feel there's hope for more change, given that we are going into an administration that is going to try very hard to undo many of the things that we've made progress on, we've had a lot of victories, and a lot of victories in the states and across the nation. I would encourage you to go to everytown.org, to the website, or giffords.org, or momsdemandaction.org, and do a little exploring. All of them have immensely good information. You can see both the work that's going on and also the significant victories in stopping bad legislation. And a huge shout out to the Arizona moms, because they have been able to lobby and get bills stopped, really awful bills, with the legislators that want guns literally everywhere. And we've also been able to support the governor in her many, many vetoes of stopping things that are only going to be harmful.
So, Pam, what would you share with others about resilience?
First of all, I want to say that I have been blessed and inspired by the strength and the resilience, the ability to come back after something horrific, of not only the survivors that I've met in Tucson, but the ones all across the nation, strong women who have just endured unspeakable tragedy, and yet they share their story and they work for change. People like Roxana Green, who lost her beautiful daughter, Christina, Emily Nottingham, whose son, Gabe Zimmerman, my coworker, was taken, a young man with such promise, Mary Reed, who covered her daughter, Emma, and saved her life, and Gabby, who I value as a friend, and we get together all the time, and she just never gives up. I just have been changed for the better, for the good, because of these people that I have met across the nation. Men too, but I am particularly touched by the strong women. I chose that for the title of my memoir, We Are Strong Women, because it is inspiring to see the hugely difference that people make even after unspeakable tragedies. Shout out to all of those strong women that have inspired me and kept me going through this long journey.
I look forward to your memoir when it does come out. And let me just say, you're one of those women, and we are in awe of all of you and how you've all dealt with resilience. So thank you for that. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. I thank you so much for being with us. Thanks so much for everything that you do and that are going to do in the future. It's particularly great to hear that you're doing well.
Thank you, Aspen. It's a pleasure to be here.
And that is all the time we have today, unfortunately. But Pam Simon, we can't thank you enough for sharing your experience and thoughts about gun violence and gun safety today. Tucson, thanks you for all you do for our community. We appreciate it very much, and for others in our country. And thanks to all of you out there. You've been listening to Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And you can hear more of our programs at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives podcast page. But for now, stick around, because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.